from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's the biggest double game week of the season so far, with eight teams set to have two fixtures. We look at which players are most likely to bring you a bumper points return. Well, hello, welcome back to the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Game week 21 is finally over. And since the start of it, we've had plenty of action. A bumper round of FA Cup, EFL Cup semi-finals, and a double game week has been announced. So there is plenty for us to dive into on today's show. So it's a welcome along to footballer turned pundit. Hello to Sammy Parkin.
Hi, Kelly.
And it's also hello to FPL family's Sam Bonfield. This isn't going to get confusing with a Sammy and Sam both on.
We've done it deliberately, Kelly. How are you?
I'm very, very good, thank you. And the reason I'm especially good is because I'm rather excited, because today we also have a debut on the podcast with almost 50 Republic of Ireland caps. He's played for AFC Bournemouth, Charlton and Ipswich. And now he splits his time between punditry and being a top FPL manager who already has four top 100,000 finishes under his belt, including one inside the top 6,000. It's a very warm welcome along to Matt Holland.
I wouldn't go that far. Hello, Ken. How are you doing?
Hello, Matt. I'm very good, thank you. Do not pretend you're not a big FPL manager. I recently did a game with you and we were watching on and you were exactly the same as me, just cheering on your FPL players.
Yes, I do that. I've watched football a totally different way since I started playing this game.
Tell us, when did you start playing FPL?
Do you know, when I knew I was coming on the podcast, I actually looked back at my FPL history. I didn't realise I'd been playing as long as I have. 2011-12 season was my first year. And so, yeah, this is my 11th season playing FPL. Can't believe it's that long.
Yeah, it passes by very quickly, doesn't it? And as I said before, some brilliant finishes in there. You're a busy man now, travelling the country, working on games. So how does it fit in? I imagine you have to be quite careful with your deadlines to make sure you're not travelling and stuff when there is deadlines.
This is actually very early for me to start looking at my fantasy league team. I tend to do it on a Friday, especially at the moment with all sorts of issues with COVID, etc. I leave it a little bit to the last minute, but it's usually on a Friday that I make my decisions.
Well, hopefully you'll make some good decisions this week then, because you're looking ahead slightly earlier than you would usually. Tell us how your season's gone so far this year then.
Mixed, I would say. Started off not too badly. I think I was 250,000 after game week 6. And then I slipped down the table somewhat. I tried to be trying to play a bit of catch up at times. So differentially, try to captain people other than Salah, which was a big mistake. And realised the error of my ways. Started captaining Salah again. And now I'm back into the top million. And I think I'm sort of 600 and something thousand at the moment.
So you're going in the right direction, which is the most important thing.
I hope so.
Well, that game that you and I did work on together, I've got high hopes for you on this podcast, because it was a game week after I sold Mo Salah and you talked me out of taking a hit to get him back in. And of course, he then missed the penalty and blanked. So no pressure. I'm expecting big things for you today.
I'll see what I can do.
Let's quickly remind you where we are at then with double game week 21 and how it finished. West Ham, Everton and Brentford players were especially attractive with their double game week, and popular captaincy choice Jared Bowen's Wednesday brace combined with his assist against Palace in his first fixture crowned him the week's top scorer with 21 points. Manuel Lanzini was close behind with 18 in total. Now Southampton also beat Brentford 4-1 in Brentford's second fixture of the game week. Ivan Toney blanking again, whilst Everton versus Leicester was called off, meaning there was a blank for DCL in Everton's only double game week fixture against Brighton. I know one of our panel especially was burnt by that. Come to you shortly on that, Sam Bonfield. Anyway, Sammy, let's start with you. I bumped into you at a game in midweek and you were very much telling me you were let down by your double game week goalkeeper, Alvaro Fernandez. So when I checked your team, I was expecting it to be a disaster, but actually it did all right.
Don't let the secret out of the bag that I'm working and I'm still on the app checking my team. It takes over your life, doesn't it? It gets under your skin. So yeah, Fernandez didn't have the best start the other night. But in terms of the double game weekers, you know, I think I come out of it pretty pleased. Obviously, some people on this pod have done better by captaining Bowen. But to have Antonio Bowen, I think Brozier coming in, I made that move for Tony a few weeks ago and actually had three players that didn't play a minute in this game week. So to come out with 72 points, pretty chuffed really.
What about you then, Sam? Come on, let's get it out of the way. As I said before, I understand why you went for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and Lee actually spoke about it last week. You also came on the FPL show and told us you're thinking, and it all made sense, but you just needed luck to go in your favour and it didn't.
No, and I think that's the thing. I look back at that decision to go DCL over Antonio, and I did it for the right reasons. I knew that Antonio was likely to punish me this week because he had two really nice fixtures. But I looked at Calvert-Lewin and thought, well, that's two nice fixtures. Plus, Everton have missed so many games. The potential for further double game weeks is there with him. And the Everton fixtures are so nice after 21 that it all made sense. And then, of course, when they rewarded the penalty, I was like, great, this is going to be a good start to own in DCL again. Unfortunately, that good start that I thought I was going to get went from bad to horribly worse when he missed the penalty. And then from horribly worse to catastrophic when that game was re-postponed against Leicester and he just had the single game week and returned 0 points. And when you've taken a -4 for a player, that really stings.
How did the rest of the team do? Because I see you got 66 points in total. Are you happy with that?
It's not ideal. It's a slightly red arrow. However, when that Everton game got called off, I was expecting it to be far worse than it was, especially with Antonio's record against Norwich from the last time out. So I kind of feel like I might have got away with it a little bit. The rest of them were fine. Obviously picked up the assists from Son and Bernardo and Jota as well. I'd captained Bowen, so that was fine. Some points from Trent Alexander-Arnold too. So it was fine. Hopefully game week 22 can reboost me up that mini league.
Yeah, you've had a lot of green arrows recently, haven't you? Now, Matt, what about you? You got the Bowen transfer right, but not quite the captaincy this week.
No. I did bring Jared Bowen in, which I was quite pleased about. Obviously, West Ham's fixtures were good and he has produced, but I would like to have captained him in hindsight. I went with Antonio. It wasn't the worst option because he was my second top scorer of the week. So at least he picked up a few points. But I wish I'd gone with Jared Bowen now with the armband, but hey-ho.
Yeah, 66 points for you as well. And two good transfers in with Bowen and Dawson coming in for a combined 28 points. Well, let's now see how our FPL Pod Mini League managers did this week. And it's a second week at the top for the leader, Thierry Henry, still one of my favourite FPL team names. We have a new team up in second and a new one in third too as LFC and Invincibles 99. I get the feeling there's a lot of Arsenal fans in this league. Both scored a whopping 94 and 99 points respectively. If you do want to join in with the fun, the league code is 1KIKS7. On to this week though, and shortly after we recorded last week's show, we received the exciting news that game week 22 will be another double, and it's the biggest of the season so far. So last Thursday, the Premier League announced that four previously postponed fixtures have been added to the upcoming game week 22, meaning eight teams will have a double game week. Brentford, Brighton, Burnley, Chelsea, Leicester, Manchester United, Tottenham and Watford. Now, before we look into the teams with the strongest pair of fixtures, let's discuss our strategy. Firstly, will any of you be using a chip? Matt, are you contemplating using any?
I am contemplating it. You know, I came on this podcast to try and get some advice. I'm hoping that some of your experts here can give me a hand. I am tempted by a free hit this week because it is a double game week, but I'm naturally cautious. So my nature is to try and sort of keep that in reserve. And particularly when I look at the double game week matches, don't feel as though any real standout fixtures for the top teams in particular. So I'm tempted to try and keep it in reserve and maybe take a -4, two transfers. That's probably the way I'll go.
Is it the fixtures that puts you off as well, Sammy, from activating that free hit chip, or are you contemplating it?
I completely agree with Matt, to be honest. I think later in the season, we may even have more bumper game weeks where the prize is a nearly on offer, if you like, where the top sides in the division going for the title potentially and have to roll out Salah, De Bruyne, maybe for some of these game weeks where you can pick up huge points. So unless there's accentuating circumstances, which I've kind of got right now because I've only got two set to play in this game week. So I'm about 60-40 against right now. But the fixtures, I mean, some of the sides that normally you would bank on having two or three assets who can get you good points, I just don't see it right now. You're kind of plucking people out of the sky, really. You know, Madison, someone at Leicester, maybe Harry Kane, but there's no one that I can really bank on to say they're going to produce over these two games.
There are around 300,000 wildcards currently active and over 200,000 free hit chips. Sam, how many double game week players do you think you need in your team? Sammy alluded to only having two there, but what do you feel is good to get a good score this week?
It's really tough, actually, because I had four who were scheduled to have a double game week when their first fixtures got announced. Then, of course, the injury to Son means I'm down to three. So now it's a decision to be made. But we all should remember that double game weeks don't necessarily straight away mean huge points returns. And there's often the case that there's single game week players who outperform their double game week opponents. So the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin against Norwich could be a really good buy this week. And FPL managers will often neglect them on the basis that they target the players that have got doubles. So I tried to be really wary of doing that. I think if you've got four or five players that are doubling, then that's absolutely fine. If you've got more than that, great. If you've got two or three and you can bring in another one with a free transfer, I think you'll still be fine this week.
Matt alluded to the fact that he might take a minus four. Would you recommend managers take points hits? I know it's something we never want to do as managers, but for example, last week I brought in Jared Bowen and Vladimir Soufal and they got over 30 points for me in total. So my points hit paid off, but I'm always hesitant to take anything more than a minus four. But in a double game week, can you take a bigger points hit?
Absolutely. I mean, I took a minus four last week on the basis that Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I wasn't just bringing him in for that double game week. I was bringing him in for the long-term fixtures that Everton have. So if you take it over a multiple game week period, then it's definitely worth it. Lee took a minus eight last week, took out three players who didn't play, Foden, Son and Reece James, and bought in players that all returned. So he had, you know, a massive points return on the back of that minus eight, which is more than paid off and sets him up better now for the future game weeks too. So don't be afraid of the points hits. I think they can definitely pay off, but don't just go rogue on a random player. Make sure that there's a strategy behind it and that you're happy to hold that player for a couple of weeks.
Okay, let's look at some teams with double game weeks then. We'll start with Spurs. They've got Arsenal at home and then Leicester away. And Sam, what a time for Son Heung-min to get injured.
The worst moment possible for Spurs fans and FPL managers alike. I think he was in a really good vein of form. He was returning week upon week upon week, even if it was just a very late assist. Sorry to bring it up again, Kelly, but against Watford the other week, there was always
just
something coming
about
in.
It.
Sorry. There was always points coming in from him and you trusted him. He was my set and forget captain this week. I had no qualms about doing that. Then, of course, Conte dropped the bomb that he was going to be missing until February. And that's really difficult to take then, because suddenly I'm looking at him thinking, well, I've got to move you out. Do I stick with Spurs and make the move to somebody like Lucas Moura? Or do I look at one of the other teams across the Premier League and move him there?
Matt, what are you thinking of doing with Son? Because I know you did the popular Salah to Son transfer a few weeks back with Spurs' double game week. You must have been delighted with that move. Are you looking at Spurs or are you looking at elsewhere when you bring someone in for him? Or are you just going to bench him?
No, I'll definitely replace him. Yeah, he was my Salah replacement a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was the natural choice, really. And as Sam alluded to, he was scoring points on a regular basis and you know, I thought he was just a nailed-on captain in the upcoming weeks. So now I've got a dilemma to make. But I am going to get rid of him. I'm going to take out Son and probably Jesus, who I've got up top, take a minus four and bring two players in. Those two players are up for debate at the moment. I'm sort of contemplating Harry Kane, contemplating Ronaldo, who have both got double game weeks. And then in midfield as well, I've got decisions to make as well. Mason Mount's probably my favourite at the moment at Chelsea. So at the moment, I'm sort of Mount and Ronaldo or Kane. Not decided yet.
I tell you what, let's talk a little bit about Harry Kane then, shall we, Sam? Because three league goals for him, but he's only got more than 6 points once this season. You have him, and I imagine not being a Son owner, you're pretty happy right now.
Yeah, I've been pretty loyal to Harry Kane. I'm kind of in Sam's camp with this throughout the season. I always go back to him. I was there for his little cameo against Morecambe the other day, and I was surprised to read that, you know, only Ronaldo and Antonio have had more shots than Kane this season, despite the short return of goals. Second to Ronaldo in terms of shots on target. So he's still getting plenty away. Of course, He has pot shots from distance, but I mean, his record against these two sides coming up, 11 in 14 against Arsenal, 15 in 12 against Leicester. It's not a bad time to be getting him in. And I don't see any other options, to be honest, in that Spurs side, in that Spurs squad. I think defensively over those two games against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup left a lot to be desired. And yeah, in the league programme moving forward, I think Harry Kane's the only one really that you can look at.
So Sammy thinks that Kane is the only Spurs option. Sam, do you agree with him? And if you had no Spurs cover right now, is Kane the one you would go for?
Kane is the one that I think you should be targeting, yes. But I do think Lucas Moura offers some potential there. With Son missing, we're going to need his creativity and we're going to need him to link up well with Harry Kane. So I think Moura could be a nice option. The defence is questionable for me because they were the ones that everybody was looking to target, the likes of Reguilón, even Eric Dier. Now, of course, with those two having missed the last couple of fixtures, Dier with a small injury, hopefully he'll be back for the Arsenal game. Reguilón was out with tiredness, according to Conte, from the hectic schedule that they've had. That worries me slightly. And then, of course, on the back of the League Cup game, he was talking about how he wasn't sure if he'd be able to recover the injured players before the game against Arsenal at the weekend. Now, if we go into a game against Arsenal without those key defenders, then you don't want to invest in the Spurs defence at all. Even Royale, who has that attacking threat, I'd just leave out because I don't see clean sheets coming. If Reguilón and Dier are back, then I think you could invest in the Spurs defence and have them for the potential extra doubles that they may have in the future to recover from these games that they've still got in hand.
Okay, let's move on now to Manchester United. They face Aston Villa away and Brentford at home. Firstly, Matt, what have you made of Manchester United of late? Because I think it's safe to say the United fans aren't exactly too happy with how their team are playing.
In general, I don't trust Man United is the bottom line. You know, if I haven't got any Man United players in my squad because I just don't trust them. The only one really is Cristiano Ronaldo that you can own with any real confidence. The rest of the team, there's nobody that you can rely on. Defensively, they've not been great, conceded too many goals. David De Gea has had a good season, but again, clean sheets have been rare. So I just don't think you can trust Man United.
Let's talk about Cristiano Ronaldo then. He missed the cup tie in midweek because of a minor muscle problem. And against Wolves, he was quite frustrating. As someone that owned him, that was a tough, tough watch. How essential is he for this double game week, Sammy, do you think? Because ordinarily, Cristiano Ronaldo with two fixtures would all jump at him, wouldn't we?
There's an argument for him. If you could get him and Kane in the same side, that probably means you're going to have quite a cut price midfield. I'm thinking about De Bruyne to be my Salah replacement. But of course, if you've got the funds, then Ronaldo comes into your thinking. But I'm with Matt. I think it's too early to go for a United player right now. I think there was a period where Luke Shaw was obviously in a number of teams early part of the season. He seems to have lost his way and he's flagged ahead of this weekend. David De Gea probably, you know, is worth a thought. Only the three clean sheets, but you just wouldn't be surprised if they turned it on in these two games, especially defensively, given the two fixtures against Villa and Brentford, and came away with good returns. But I think it's too much of a risk. I'd be waiting a little bit longer under the new manager, seeing how Ronaldo recovers from this injury before I made a decision to bring him in. So I'm happy not having any United right now.
Sam, you do have Cristiano Ronaldo, but you don't have Harry Kane. So I'm wondering if you're hovering over that transfer, or does it feel just too tough as a Ronaldo owner to sell him with two fixtures in one game week?
I would really like to sell him this week. I just haven't been impressed with Manchester United, be it in the Premier League or even in the FA Cup game at the weekend. I thought Aston Villa were incredibly unlucky not to get something out of that game. And Ronaldo, it's just not clicking for him at the moment. Having said all of that, he is playing a double game week this weekend. And it's very difficult to sell a double game week player, even if they've got another double game week player replacing them. So he'll likely get a stay of execution in my team. But he really does need to show me something this week if I'm going to hold him beyond double game week 22.
What about Chelsea then? Because usually a team in the upper echelons of the Premier League table with a double game week would be really appealing. But Manchester City away and Brighton, do they put us off slightly, Matt?
Yes, they do, because they're up against two good defences. Man City are very good at the back, and likewise, actually, Brighton have been, you know, difficult to score against as well. So I am reluctant to bring too many Chelsea players into the team. I own Rudiger already. And looking around, the other one that tempts me is Mason Mount in the middle of the pitch. And Romelu Lukaku is an interesting one as well. Just getting back up to fitness. He's had his issues, hasn't he, with the manager. He's by sort of some of the stuff that he said in the press. But he's back in the team, scored a few goals of late, and he is someone that tempts me. But he's up against two good defences, so I'm unlikely to make that change this week. The only Chelsea player that I'm potentially targeting is Mason Mount.
Yeah, Mason Mount's got 8 successive 90-minute appearances with 4 goals and 3 assists in that time, but he hasn't scored in 4. Does that put you off at all, Matt?
Yeah, it does. It does. And his position in the team, where he plays as well, does he play a little bit deeper? You know, watching Chelsea last night in the Cup, I was impressed actually with Werner. I thought his movement was good and he looked sharp. So yeah, I'm a little bit concerned that Mount hasn't scored in the last 4 games, but he is a reliable player. And as you quite rightly say, he's played 90 minutes and completed 90 minutes, which is rare in the Chelsea team as well, to play as many games on the trot for 90 minutes. So that consistency is something that appeals to me.
Any excuse for me to mention, once again, regular listeners will know I bought him in ahead of his mega haul at Watford and when he returned in those 2 back-to-back game weeks. So I'm very happy to have Mason Mount. He does just tick over in my team. And with 2 games ahead of him, if Chelsea are going to score, he's often involved in them. So I do understand that transfer. What about Romelu Lukaku, Sam Bonfield? If you were free hitting, would he be worth a punt?
Yeah, I think he could be. And obviously he's that much cheaper than Ronaldo and Kane. So in terms of structuring a free hit team, he could offer you the potential to do that and maybe have him even alongside one of them because he does save you that million. The issue I have is that Brighton defensively have been really quite solid this year. They're not an easy defence to get at. And likewise with Manchester City, that's going to be a very close, tough game. So I don't necessarily see Lukaku having the ability to score multiple goals across those 2 games. And would you want to hold him for a longer period of time at his price point? I haven't seen enough from him just yet since he's come back into that Chelsea team. So I'd rather go with one of the cheaper options, the likes of Mason Mount in midfield, than I would go with Lukaku.
Okay, so it sounds like Mason Mount is the most popular attacker amongst the panellists. What about defensively? Because we were all very much enjoying the points from Chelsea's defence, weren't we, Sammy? But 1 clean sheet in 9, is now the time to part company with their defenders, or do you just hold them for this double and then look to do that after?
Oh, depends who it is, I would say. I think Rudiger, definitely hold if you've got him. Alonso, I think that's got a question mark after it, because I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Hudson-Odoi started in that position. See, Lewis Hall played, well, he played as a left centre half, but he's an option now, not for the magnitude of the Manchester City game, clearly, but I don't think that Alonso's performances have been particularly great as of yet. I was going to save this for the Manchester City-Chelsea chat, but I've had a little look at Kovacic and Jorginho, actually, if we can jump into midfield for a moment. And I just think those two as midfield enablers, if you need to spend your funds on the likes of Kane, De Bruyne, etc., I think there's value there. There are 2 names that I've kept coming back to this season. I mean, Jorginho, under 6 million, is the highest point scorer in terms of a midfielder other than Benrahma, who's obviously not available right now. Chelsea have had the most penalties in a division with 7. He's converted 6 of them. And he's got 79 points. Kovacic, just £5 million. He's having an outstanding season. And in terms of points, he got 68 points in 2019-20, which is his best return. He's got 59 points already this season. 2 goals, 1 recent one against Liverpool, which should give him confidence to shoot more because of... he gets into such great positions but never pulls the trigger, and joint most assists at Chelsea as well. So he's £5 million. And I think if you need to save funds elsewhere, those two are a decent shout as your 5th midfielder.
Moving on now to a few other teams. Let's look at Leicester. They've got Burnley away and Spurs at home. We know they've had their issues with COVID and injuries recently. Do we have to approach them with a bit of caution, do you think, Sammy?
Yeah, but I think... Madison's performances, obviously he didn't I don't think he lasted the distance, did he, against Liverpool last time out, and didn't really affect the game in the manner that he has been. But I mean, 4 goals and 5 assists in his previous 5, 56 points, the highest in the game, I would say, over the last 6 game weeks, tells you that if you're free hitting, I think he's an obvious choice to go for, especially with the fixtures that are coming up. He's been influencing the games enormously. There's no one else really that would jump out for me, but he would be certainly someone that would be one of the first names on the team sheet if I was to roll the dice.
Yeah, he does look an attractive option. Matt, you've actually got him in your team already. You must be delighted to have him ahead of this double.
Yeah, one of my better decisions this season, bringing James Maddison in. He'd had a tough start to the season, and in recent weeks has really found form. So he's the only asset at Leicester that I would want at the moment. And yeah, absolutely delighted to have him in my squad.
One other good decision you've made this season, Matt, is having Emmanuel Dennis. What an FPL asset he's proven to be. Of course, hasn't gone away with AFCON. And now Watford have, on paper, the most attractive double game week with Newcastle and Burnley. I should probably also mention that they also have Norwich in game week 23. So quite the week for the Hornets in terms of FPL and their survival hopes in the Premier League. Are you mad, Sam, if you go into this double without having Emmanuel Dennis?
I don't think you're mad. I mean, I at the moment don't have Dennis, but I have Josh King. So the quandary I now have is, do I want the double up when I've also got Ronaldo, who's got a double game week, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's got Norwich and then has a nice fixture run that follows. So for me to get Dennis, I've got to sell Josh King, which also feels a bit ridiculous given that he's got a double game week too and is playing alongside Dennis, could easily score in those games too. So I think if you don't have a Watford forward, I would go Dennis. However, if you are already invested and have Josh King and, like me, have two other forwards who you can't really sell or don't want to sell, then I think it's okay to go without. But I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to double up on them both either, because they're so cheap, particularly on a free hit.
Would you consider the double there, Matt? I'm sure you've watched quite a bit of Watford this season.
I'd probably stick with Dennis rather than double up and bring Josh King in. But with Watford, they're pretty reliable scorers. You know, even in recent weeks, they've scored 4 against Man United, 2 against Leicester, scored against Chelsea. The only game that they blanked was Tottenham last time out. Other than that, they're regular scorers. So I can see the attraction in it, but I would probably just stick with Dennis.
Yeah, he's had the biggest price rise of all in FPL, from initial 5 million to 6.1 million. He did come off against Spurs, was a slight injury doubt, but has been pictured being back in training this week. Is he going to be a good captaincy option as well, do you think, Sammy, given those fixtures?
Yeah, I think so. He scored in 3 of his last 4 away from home, and they were at Everton, Leicester and Brentford. So nothing to fear from Newcastle and Burnley away from home. So absolutely, I think he's a really good pick. I've kind of got my heart set on a Kane, Dennis, Antonio front three ahead of this week, and trying to get De Bruyne and Jota into the midfield. So yeah, I think probably in the striking department, Kane or Dennis would be where I'd be going for my captaincy.
You've mentioned your 3 strikers there, but just looking at some of the other teams with double game week, someone who could be appealing is Neil Mopay at Brighton. He's having his best Premier League season with 7 goals so far. Given the fact that he has got a double game week, would he be one that you would consider? I know he's not going to make it into your squad, but could you understand why people might consider him?
Definitely, yeah. Yep. A goal or an assist in 4 of his last 5 games. It feels like Graham Potter finally has full trust in him, you know, keeping him on the pitch, scoring a number of late goals. Obviously, he's got a derby against Crystal Palace, or there's certainly a strong rivalry there. So, yeah, I definitely think that Mopay is a viable option right now, considering his form.
Okay, so there are some of the teams with double game week fixtures that are intriguing us. But as the panel have highlighted, it is also important not to ignore teams with attractive single matches. Let's check in on the full game week 22 schedule now. We have 14 matches to look forward to in game week 22. Your deadline is Friday, the 14th of January at 6:30 p.m. 90 minutes for the A23 Derby. It's Brighton versus Crystal Palace. Manchester City versus Chelsea is the early game on Saturday. There are then 4:30 p.m. fixtures: Burnley-Leicester, Norwich against Everton, Wolves host Southampton, and there is a huge battle at the bottom as Newcastle welcome Watford. At 5:30, it's a repeat of Monday's FA Cup third round fixture, but this time at Villa Park, it's Aston Villa against Manchester United. On Sunday, there's two 2pm fixtures. It's Liverpool-Brentford and another repeat of an FA Cup third round tie as West Ham welcome Leeds again. At 4:30pm, it's the North London derby. And we then have two games on Tuesday. Watford's big double continues as they travel to Burnley before 30 minutes later. Brighton welcome Chelsea on Wednesday. It's Leicester versus Spurs before Brentford host Manchester United at 8pm to conclude a bumper game week. Okay, I can breathe now. I'll let you guys take over. Let's firstly focus in on Manchester City versus Chelsea. Sammy, the first of Chelsea's double game week fixtures. But as we know, we can never ignore the team that are running away with it at the top of the Premier League.
No, I don't think you should. I think if you have a City defender, clearly hold for this week. Silva, I think despite not returning hugely over the last few weeks, is still a great option. I'm thinking of De Bruyne. Created the most chances per 90 over the last six games, 18 shots in the last five. Granted, nine of them were against Leeds, but 36 points he's registered in that time, which is, streets ahead of the other options for City. Gundogan, Sterling's been a bit in and out, and Jesus, as Matt mentioned earlier as well, probably not a definite starter. So De Bruyne is someone I'd be looking at, even though it's a tough game up against Chelsea coming forward at this weekend. And Chelsea were so tepid in that encounter at Stamford Bridge. Lukaku didn't register a shot. I think had 11 touches in the opponent's box. City had nearly four times that at Stamford Bridge. So they have to be much better in this game. A game which hasn't had loads of goals in it. The last 10, there's only been over three on two occasions. There was that 6-0 at the Etihad under Maurizio Sarri, if you remember, when Chelsea strangely just sat on the edge of their own box. So I think they can take note of what Leicester did there a few weeks ago. So I'm not going to make a case for Lukaku, Mount or Werner particularly ahead of this fixture. But certainly Maddison and Lookman and Iheanacho caused City so many problems on the counter-attack. They can look at how they did that, but I think it's a case of maybe just holding this week for Manchester City and Chelsea players rather than adding to your ammunition unless you're going for De Bruyne, as I said.
Bernardo Silva finally returned, didn't he, after five matches. Is he someone you're going to be holding, Sam?
Yeah, I think he's one of those players where every week I kind of look at him as a potential transfer out. And then every week I'm impressed. He passes the eye test. He's promising in that Manchester City team. A lot of the good attack work comes through Bernardo Silva. And of course, he did return in game week 21, got the assist against Arsenal. So he is a player that, whilst I always look to move on, I think I'll still keep him, to be honest. He's got nice fixtures after this game against Chelsea. And I do suspect that he'll still return points. And at his price point, I'm not having to shell out for the likes of KDB. Yes, he will return more, but eventually, we're going to want to get the likes of Salah back into our team. And I'm trying to kind of plan for that also. And holding Bernardo Silva is going to be much easier at that point than holding somebody like De Bruyne.
Okay, so that's City versus Chelsea, the early game on Saturday, covered off. Sam, the fixture you've looked at is Liverpool against Brentford. Again, Liverpool with only one fixture this game week. But given how Brentford played at Southampton, it's quite an attractive fixture, isn't it, for Jurgen Klopp's side?
It definitely is. Liverpool are going to be weaker this time around because, of course, they've lost Salah and Mane off to the African Cup of Nations. So they are missing two of their key forward players. The question then becomes, well, who will play with Jota in that front three? I think for me, it depends on who's available. We're likely to see Firmino up top with Jota, of course. But who goes into that third spot is up for debate. We saw Oxlade-Chamberlain play there a lot in pre-season. If he plays, then it's likely that we see Jota play over on the left, which for FPL managers isn't ideally where we want him to be. It could be Minamino if he's fit and available. Again, I think that still means that Jota's out on the left. If Origi's back from injury and he starts, then we could see Jota on the right, which again, I would prefer Jota to be kind of where he's been all season and through the middle. That ideally is where we want him to be in the way that he's been playing when he's had Salah and Mane in the team. All being said, I still think Jota is a fantastic option this weekend and is a player that you could easily capped him, but again, will probably be overlooked because Liverpool don't have that double game week.
What about Trent Alexander-Arnold? We've all got him. Matt, are you slightly concerned about their impressive clean sheet record? Because it's kind of disappeared of late, hasn't it?
It has, but he offers too much going forward for me to throw him out of my team purely on that. My worry is that he's obviously had COVID and I know he's back training and the likelihood is he will play in the team. But he's got too much, I think, attacking returns for me to turn my back on him at this stage, just purely on their defensive record because he's so good going forward.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason a lot of us have him in, isn't it? Because he's not really a defender. He's a defender, but a defender that offers us so much more. A reminder, this match back in game week 6, I'm sure you haven't forgotten it, one of the games of the season at the Brentford Community Stadium. It finished 3-3. What a game that was. Wouldn't mind a repeat of that. Matt, now you've been looking at another game, a game you're going to actually be at the weekend, West Ham against Leeds. We had a glimpse of this in the FA Cup, but how do you see this one going?
Yeah, if it's a repeat of the scoreline in the FA Cup, I'll be reasonably happy. I own four players in this game. So I've got three West Ham players in Bowen, Antonio and Dawson, and I own Rafinha for Leeds. I think the interesting thing from the Norwich game actually in midweek with West Ham was the return of Aaron Cresswell. He's someone that I would be tempted by and potentially swapping him for Dawson. When I picked Dawson, it was a choice between him and Soufal, but I was a little bit worried about the rotation and whether Soufal would play or not. So I went with the steadier option of Dawson. I told you I'm a cautious player in FPL. so I went with Dawson rather than Soufal. Obviously, Benrahma's away. You've got Lanzini, who scored in the FA Cup game against Leeds. Him and Fornals are options in midfield. But when you own Bowen and Antonio, I think it's unlikely that you're going to go to those two. As for Leeds, Rafinha, I think, is the only one you really want to own at Leeds. He's got 30 points more than any of his teammates. The other consideration would be Stuart Dallas, who scored last time out against Burnley. He's listed as a midfielder, but I just feel as though they're quite inconsistent leads and difficult to own any of their players bar Rafinha. So yeah, I'm tempted by swapping Cresswell in for Dawson. Long term, that might be an option, but right now I'm quite happy that the fact that I've got Bowen and Antonio coming into this game.
Let's wax lyrical about Jarrod Bowen, shall we then? Because he's the seventh player in FPL to surpass 100 FPL points this season. He's contributed to 5 goals in his last 4 matches. As Matt said then, we'd be foolish to sell him against another meeting with Leeds. We've already seen in the FA Cup he can score against them.
Jarrod Bowen is one of those players right now who you just have to stay invested in. When you get a player that hits a run of form like Bowen has, you just need to stay with him regardless of the fact that he's got a single game week. Selling him right now, it feels so counterintuitive to take out a player in the form that he's in to replace him with somebody that you're kind of taking a bit of a punt on, really, because at his price point, to get a double game week player in, it's going to be somebody who doesn't have the level of form and isn't playing as an out-of-position striker, as we've basically seen from Bowen over the last couple of weeks. So with Leeds' defence still looking very wobbly, I think Jarrod Bowen is still a good captaincy option this week, even in a single game week.
That's double game week 22 covered off, but it's been a few weeks since we've looked further into the distance. So today sees the return of the long view. Longview, using the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating, we take a look at teams with favourable or unfavourable runs of fixtures. You can view the full FDR at premierleague.com. Now, Manchester United top it with Villa, Brentford, Burnley, Southampton, Leeds and Watford, their next few fixtures. But we've discussed a few Manchester United assets already. Then it is Watford who have an appealing next three, as we discussed before Everton, a third in the fixture difficulty rating, and then Newcastle. And we want to focus in on Eddie Howe's side because we have largely avoided them from an FPL point of view with only one league win all season. But given their early moves in the transfer market, could things be changing for them? Firstly, let's start with one of their two new signings, Kieran Trippier, priced at 5 million. What are you thinking about him, Sammy? Because I know they've not been attractive defensively, but does he change things a bit?
Well, I think he does for the potential attacking output. But that's a big question mark, I suppose, isn't it? I mean, they've scored more than two in one game this season, which tells the whole story. That was the 3-3 against Brentford just after Eddie Howe came in. I think Matt Ritchie, someone who's right up there in terms of the statistics, player that Eddie Howe knows really well, joint fourth for accurate crosses in a division. But whether he's going to be playing at left back or Manquillo's going to play there, or if he's going to play at left midfield, we'll have to wait and see. But I wouldn't be investing in a Newcastle defender or probably a midfielder right now until we see, you know, what happens in the window and what type of results they pick up in the next few weeks. Even looking in the forward areas, I'm not so sure I'd be pulling the trigger right now.
Well, today they have confirmed the signing of Burnley forward Chris Wood. Does that change things? Is he someone we should be looking at, Matt?
Yeah, I think he is. I think under Eddie, we're seeing a different style of play, seeing them on the front foot, trying to be more attacking. I'm with Sam there that I wouldn't bring in any defenders at Newcastle. Totally wouldn't trust them. Manquillo's their top scorer, defender with 28 points. So it's not an area of the pitch that I'd be tempted by for Newcastle. But certainly in the forward positions, Callum Wilson and Saint-Maximin have had decent returns this season. And Chris Wood has got double figures in the Premier League for the last four or five seasons now. So he is someone that you could be tempted by, especially with Callum Wilson being out for a period. You know he's going to play. He had a really good second half to the season last year for Burnley. So he's someone definitely to keep an eye on, and particularly with the style of football that Eddie's going to play.
Just doubling down on what we both just said, I think Chris Wood's got the most attempts in the division in the six-yard box. And it's all going to be about, can he get that delivery? And I don't think Saint-Maximin maybe guarantees that because he's so off the cuff in the final third. That said, he did score and assist in these corresponding fixtures that they've got coming up. But definitely Chris Wood would be someone that you could think about moving forward and to see how that relationship develops with some of the other players, Kieran Trippier in particular. If he's going to be raiding down the right-hand side and delivering, putting it in early, then Chris Wood will surely build on those three goals he's got at Burnley so far.
Let's look at the other end of the fixture difficulty rating then, because Arsenal had won 14-1 from their previous four league games before their game week 20 loss to Manchester City. They still put in an impressive performance. Of course, they then did lose with a slightly changed side in the FA Cup championship team, Nottingham Forest. However, when you look at their run coming up, it's Spurs in the North London derby. Then they've got a blank, Burnley Wolves, another blank, then Brentford and another blank. Blanks are the worst things to see as FPL managers. What are you doing with your Arsenal players, Sam? Have you gradually been getting rid of them over the past few weeks with this in mind?
Yeah, so I had three Arsenal players for game week 20 and then dropped that right back down to just Ramsdale for game week 21. Sold Lacazette to bring in Dominic Calvert-Lewin for his double, and obviously also sold Smith Rowe to bring in Jarrod Bowen for his double. So good transfers out. And I think obviously now with the blanks that they have coming up, it's a difficult time to own Arsenal players, but I am keen to hold Ramsdale because I think the fixtures that they do play are quite nice. Leave the North London derby aside because that's always got loads of goals in it. But I look at a game against Burnley with no Chris Wood and with no Cornet as he's away at the African Cup of Nations, and there could be a clean sheet there. Wolves aren't scoring a lot of goals, and nor are Brentford. So there could be some clean sheets in those three. So for me, owning Ramsdale still makes a lot of sense as long as you have a second playing goalkeeper to step up during the Arsenal blanks.
Yeah, that's a problem I've got. I could do with Ben Foster coming back into the Watford team, really. He's my backup keeper at the moment. Anyway, that's where we are at with the long view. Now we're going to focus back in on double game week 22 and see what our panel's plans are. Okay, this is the point in the show where we ask our panel to try and be a little bit decisive or at least give us an insight into what their thinking is for double game week 22. You've kind of hinted at your transfer plans, Matt, so just a reminder of what you're thinking. And maybe they've changed during the podcast.
It hasn't changed. I'm still fairly sure that I'll keep my free hit in hand. I've got both free hits still to play. In fact, I've got all my chips still. So I'm tempted because of the fixtures. I don't feel as though they're kind enough for me to free hit this week. And I've got, I think, four double game week players as things stand. If I make two transfers, I've got 3.3 million in the bank. If I make two transfers, I could end up having six players who have a double game week. So I think that's probably what I'm going to do. and take a minus four because I've only got one free transfer left. And then it's who I bring in. Son and Jesus are the two players that I think are going to depart my squad. And then it's who then comes in. Mount, I think, will probably be my midfield player. And then it's between Ronaldo and Kane up top. The three top scoring forwards in the game are Antonio, Dennis and Ronaldo. And if I do bring in Ronaldo, I'll own all three. So that may be the way I go. I know that some of the other panellists are tempted to get rid of Ronaldo and think it's maybe time to sell him. I just look at the long view and that Man United's fixtures are pretty good, that I might be tempted to go with him this week for the double game week. United need to turn things around if they're going to have any chance of finishing the top four. So it might well be Ronaldo and Mount.
Okay, good transfers. I'm saying that because they're the players that I've got and I've got that exact forward line that you're talking about getting. Sammy, what are your plans transfer-wise then? Because you haven't got Ronaldo, you've got Harry Kane, but it sounds like you're looking to mix up your forwards a little bit.
Yeah, I think I've gone off the idea of a free hit since we've been sat here. I think I'm about 60-40 against. Yeah, I've got some money to play with, obviously, because I'm going to move Salah out. I was set on De Bruyne, but I think Jota, too good an option to miss. You know, even if he does play in one of the wide forward position, he's got that knack of getting in the 18-yard box, in the 6-yard box, getting little tap-ins. So I think he's definitely come into my thought process, and maybe Maddison as well, with the two games that Leicester have got on the horizon. So it's definitely going to be a plus four hit, but I'll probably keep the free hit for further down the road when we've got some really bumper game weeks.
Yeah, there's still plenty of fixtures to be rearranged. That's what we're hoping for, isn't it? Plenty more bumper double game weeks. Sam, are you going to do the transfer? I know your heart wants you to do, or are you going to go with your head this week?
Oh, I really want to. And my heart is definitely longing to bring in Harry Kane, particularly as I'm at the game this weekend. But the sensible FPL part of my brain says you hold Ronaldo for his double game week and you replace some with another double game week player, probably Mason Mount. He's the one that's kind of calling to me right now. And then there's scope to take a minus four to bring in another double game weeker. And there are other teams that you could kind of target that we've talked about already. Some of those have nice fixtures moving forward. So maybe a minus four, but definitely Sun out, probably to Mount.
Okay, what about captaincy then? Because of course, no Mo Salah. It's not even a case of if you have Mo Salah or if you don't have Mo Salah. He is away at AFCON. Who's your armband going to, Matt?
Well, if I bring Ronaldo in, it's probably hard to look beyond him. Otherwise, Emmanuel Dennis, I think, is worth keeping an eye on because of his fixtures. If the Watford's games coming up are pretty good, and he's obviously the main man for them, so it's going to be if I bring Ronaldo in, Ronaldo and maybe Dennis if I don't.
I always knew you were a Watford fan deep down. What about you, Sammy?
Oh, it's got to be Harry Kane. I think scoring goals. I think the fans need a performance, I would say, on Sunday. I'm going to be there as well. I mean, the listener's going to start thinking I just say this to swat up to Sam Bonfield every time I'm on. I think I just wax lyrical about Harry Kane each time we're together. But
I'm glad it's not just me, though, Sam, because I think everyone else thinks it's just me that waxes lyrical about Kane.
I'm an enormous fan of his. And I think they need a performance because that was really poor, obviously, for long spells against Morecambe until the big hitters were introduced, and the two games in the cup against Chelsea, they were miles off it. So North London derby, the record that he's got, and then to go to Leicester as well. I remember him scoring there frequently. It's an easy decision for me this week.
Oh, Sam actually had her head in her hands then, as Sammy was saying that. You are so jealous. I can see it. Where's
I'm
your
devastated.
Going though? Where's it going, Sam? I get the feeling this week you're probably not going to do this Kane transfer. Am I right?
I just don't think I can justify what would be a minus four to take out a player with a double game week to bring in another one, even if I would 100% hand the armband to Harry Kane if I owned him this week. I'm really struggling actually with the captaincy because, like I said earlier, it was going to go to Son. But of course, with his injury, that leaves me with a few double game week players that I can choose from. There's Ronaldo, who, as Matt says, I think is the obvious choice if you don't have Kane. Otherwise, I've got Josh King. If he was Dennis, I'd be more tempted to captain him. I'm not sure how I feel about captaining Josh King, or maybe even Mason Mount if he comes in, but I'll probably play it safe and give it to Ronaldo.
I feel like we're ending this podcast on a really sad note, but I've actually got some positive news in our own announcement. This podcast has been nominated for the best soccer podcast at the 2022 Sports Podcast Awards. The inaugural awards will be presented in March virtual ceremony with voting now open. And of course, as loyal FPL managers and listeners, we would absolutely love your vote. If you do have 5 minutes, simply visit www.sportspodcastawards.com and you can register to become a judge. We're very excited and honoured to be named amongst some brilliant podcasts. So a big thank you to everyone who has supported us. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. My thanks go to Sammy, Sam and Matt. Sam, good luck avoiding that Harry Kane transfer. And Matt, a very strong debut. I'd liken it to scoring a hat trick in your first match. Will you come back?
Of course I'll come back. You know, hopefully I played my part in you getting that nomination for the podcast. Hopefully I push you over the line now to go and win it.
You get a medal.
Yes, hopefully. That's what we're hoping. Your addition is going to take us to win our very first award. Well, the very best of luck to you all for Double Game Week 22. And of course, to everyone listening, a reminder to not forget, if you're ever going to miss a deadline, do not let it be this week. Friday, the 14th of January at 6:30 p.m. UK time. Get your team sorted by then. The FPL show will also be on the FPL app and website, as will plenty of other brilliant FPL content. So make sure you check all of that out. And of course, we will return next Thursday. Enjoy.